Hi, and welcome to an Organized Chaos podcast. I'm Bobby Quarters. Chaos is here with me as well. We just wanted to thank you for watching.
Yes, hey, Bobby.
And hey, and while you're here, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe. You could follow me on YouTube as well as Chaos and the podcast channel, which all three of those channels will be streaming this very show you're about to watch. These counselors start dropping dead, left and right. Heinous killings. Turns out, that kid who drowned the year before, his mother came back to that camp and exacted revenge.
Broken the 6 to 12 minute barrier. I've conquered brain death.
His experiments have always been unorthodox. But lately they're getting out of hand.
He lives out in those woods. In the dark. Something that's come back from the dead.
Comes back for you, because he is coming.
Before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good? Like, you have dental?
Is there a hospital nearby? Is it, like, too far?
It's about, like, 25 minutes, I'd say.
I just slapped you. Are you all right? What?
All right?
A friend of mine suggested I come talk to you. I own a roadhouse out in the Florida Keys.
Elwood Dalton, big fan, man.
That guy's got a knife under his shirt. You just take a big step back and pop me in the face. You can do it.
This is Professor Xavier's School for the Gifted. All of us here are mutants. Like yourself.
How to control our mutant powers for the benefit of man.
Why do people hate us?
Your violence will solve nothing. We must use our special gifts to bring peace to mankind. If we fail, there will be a civil war.
It's an unimaginable evil. With the power to kill by fear itself.
Like, literally scared to death?
Is something trying to get out?
Many things.
It's commanding an army of the undead.
I think we're all going to die.
Hold on to your ass!
This could bring about the end of humankind.
Hey, how's it going, people?
Hey,
Bobby
Quarters
here.
Gary Newman. Newman's bringing about the end of all mankind. Bobby didn't know that.
I did not know that. He looks very desolate and, yeah. He looked very post-apocalyptic. I was surprised he was moving as much.
Dude, he was super active. Oh my God. Right. He was insane. He was in good shape. Like, I was surprised. He was definitely the oldest performer, although I think he's only a year older than Al Jorgensen. Although he moved a lot more than Al Jorgensen. He was doing great.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good show.
All right.
Good fun. Of course, we've had a busy week. So, to anybody watching, Nicholas, I see you there. If I can get my
mic.
Nicholas, I see you there. Anybody watching, you got a pretty big show today. make sure to like and subscribe. Pink 20. Yeah, we will get to new Dalton.
Yeah, we'll get to UFC Dalton.
I have thoughts.
As do I.
Yes. And then Chuck, a show, because we got, like, not only do we have the regular agenda, but we end up doing Horror Hound this year. So
yeah, we had a busy weekend.
Yeah, no,
busy weekend. How was your
convention's drive always back? A couple weekend.
Yeah, how was your commute back?
The commute back and forth wasn't too bad. It's like 40 minutes from my place, so yeah,
that's good.
It's doable. I put some miles on the car, but wasn't like insane or anything.
Oh, I put some miles on my car.
Yeah. Well, you have a you had a hotel room.
A charming hotel room.
Yeah. But yeah, I had not done a horror hound before. Here, let me go ahead. Actually, I'm doing this a little bit differently. I'm pulling up web pages now, so we can look at those and actually do like live research. And StreamYard is not doing anything for me right now, so this is good. No. I like this. It's frozen on me. We're winning right now. Thank you, StreamYard. Well, as soon as it comes up, we will have a nice little. There we go. I love that. Listen, we're only live, so let's go ahead and throw a wrench
like
in there.
Like I've said, fuck it, we'll do it live.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do it live.
I know that, like, right at the top there, it's an evening with Henry Rollins. I did not do that.
I did not, because Friday, which is when Henry was there, was one of our busiest days that weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was busy for me, because I had paid for photo ops, which I will show off later. So I think, what was it? We had to run to one panel.
We just had a premiere panel.
Yeah, I had to set up recording software, like my camera and my portable mic, tear all that down, rush over to the photo ops, and then get one done. No, I had a photo op before that, yeah. So I had to hurry and get one done with Jeffrey Combs, then rush over and get the reanimator panel.
Yeah.
And then rush back over to the photo ops.
Well, if you had to rush and get Jeffrey Combs and rush to the reanimator panel, then I'm betting someone else was rushing too.
Yes. Yes. I know he was, but I wasn't getting a grand introduction as he was.
Yeah, true, true.
And technically it wouldn't have started without him. So
yeah, true, true.
And then I had to go over and get one with Mick Foley and then back for Evil Dead.
Yeah, well, Evil Dead was a Saturday, but
was that?
Yeah, it was a bit.
Weekend's kind of a blur.
It does. Well, especially Saturdays of conventions will blur. I will say this is quieter than the Cincinnati Comic Expo, which is nice, but there still is a whole lot to do. And the thing that I discovered that I absolutely loved about this convention. You still have the celebrities. Like, I met Jeffrey Combs. He was the only one I ended up doing to save money. Sam Raimi was tempting. Oh, my God.
I splurged for Ted. And I ended up getting
Ted's Ken tempting, too, but not as tempting as Sam.
Yeah. Ted's played a lot of memorable characters, though.
Yes. Yes, he has. like, if it were Ted, I'd lean towards getting a Joxer thing signed. See, I'm kind of surprised with all the random roles Ted has had. I'm surprised he doesn't have Star Trek in his credits. Because if he had done Star Trek,
he had Sequest photos up. He had some Sequest photos, which is
not the same.
It's like a different franchise. it's like Diet Star Trek, but
it's like Star Trek but underwater.
And Roy Scheider.
Roy Scheider. Legend there, right there. So like we get like some fairly big, they had some pretty big celebrities there. And I will say the one thing I loved about this I discovered was the freaking film festival. Like, it'd be like, hey, we got some dead time. There's a couple times where I was like, okay, we got a couple hours available. Here's a film festival block. We'll just go at the beginning and watch it all. But then, there was also a couple of times where just like, okay, we're just kind of bored. We'll just walk in there and see what's playing. And there's like, I would say the vast majority of the the movies, or it was mostly short films, but there was a couple of features. The vast majority were pretty cool, and it was all indie projects, and almost all of them, with, you know, I'd say 75% of them, after the movie would end, there'd be a Q&A after it was over with the filmmakers.
Okay.
Which was very, very cool. I really enjoyed that aspect quite a bit. Yeah, it's just kind of cool to actually be like at a film festival and, you know, just seeing such just really good movies. A couple movies that stood out to me. I think Visage was my favorite one. It was under a different name because Visage was the translated title. Here we go. Should be able to bring it up here. Takes a second to load. Where it was Saturday.
Yeah, just look. Yeah, just I've been navigating this one just to kind of catch up. And do the same, but yeah,
think
just
it was the tech one.
Do you remember what time you were in there at?
Here we go. Yeah, Bessie's. Yeah, that was good. Juggernaut was really good. Spirit Became Flesh was that was wonky. Yeah, I enjoyed it though. And then we went to see essentially, like, we were chilling out, waiting for batteries to charge. And then George texted us and said, "Hey, the Evil Dead line's forming." And it was like 1 and it started at like 2 and it's like, oh, I guess we'll go stand in line and wait for Evil Dead.
And it went late. Well, the Blair Witch Project, the Blair Witch Project that was before that panel, that one went late.
I kind of wish I'd seen Blair Witch Projects because otherwise I might have tried to catch that one too.
Yeah, I can't believe you've never seen that.
I've never seen it. No,
I cannot believe that.
I've never seen the genesis of the found footage genre.
Like, it started it all, man.
Yeah. I've seen found footage movies, but not that one. Well, the ones not to see. And I think it's worth noting this description of the Evil Dead panel was a bit of a lie. So Sam Raimi wasn't there. And then Jane Levy did cancel the convention. Sam was apparently just doing the autographs and the photo ops.
No, he had a line of people who had already paid for autographs, and he wasn't going to make them wait. So he felt to obligate to sign all the people.
Okay, that had so that's what ended up happening.
Yeah, Sam's like actually a decent dude.
that's pretty cool. Yeah. But yeah, so. Yeah, but, you know, Ted and Ivan were awesome. I was excited to see Ted, and Ted was definitely the energetic one. But, like, Ivan had some solid stories.
Yeah, and I never realized that Ivan was a surgeon.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. It was funny.
So, like it's kind of like, oh, so that's kind of why all that violence in there with produced by Ivan Raimi is, like, a little, cringy and... Why it makes you feel squeamish.
It gets pretty funny because so often Sam will be like, "Hey, you know, come on, give your medical expertise so we can know if this is accurate." And then Ivan would come on and be like, "This isn't accurate." And Sam's like, "Okay, we're doing it anyway."
All right, cool. So we already shot it. So, all right.
It's good to know. We're completely inaccurate. Okay.
Hearing the stories just about them as brothers was really, really funny.
Yeah, that was funny too. I think Sam and Ivan respected Ted a lot. And, you know, they're telling stories about how they had him out
when they were kids looking
for buried treasure. They literally buried a whole bunch of traps from the trap stumbling. Like
from the Viet Cong, yeah.
And they're like, yeah, just keep going, Ted. You're almost to the treasure. And he's just collapsing in all these traps. Like, wow.
Well, now you're a prisoner. So.
Yeah. But yeah, it was cool seeing that. And then I think after that, what do you do after the Evil Dead panel? Because I know we did the
After the Evil Dead panel, I walked around a little. Mm-hmm. And I think, I left with our friends to go get dinner. And then we came back. And we came back to watch a late night screening on Saturday. We went to go check out a little bit of the after party, which is all right.
Yeah, the Night Terrors, yeah.
Yeah. We watched a short called The English Tutor, which was a foreign film, I want to say from China. But it was pretty creepy. Definitely something that couldn't be a feature length, but what they showed and what they had was really creepy. Mm-hmm. Followed by the feature, Purgatory Jack, which was a dystopian wasteland sort of thing that was what Purgatory is. And there's criminals in there. There's an LA. There's a guy who, Jack, he was like a noir detective of sorts in that world, going against two different street gangs. But you find out that all the key players in the story are connected in one way. And it's pretty interesting without getting into more. It's actually one that I can't wait till I find out more about. Mm-hmm. Like if it finds out streaming, because I'm going to want you to watch it so we could watch it for the show, because I will gladly watch that again.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I'm going to try it. Like some of the films I saw, I've already found connections to a couple of filmmakers. I'm going to see if maybe they want to come on the show at some point, because...
Yeah, let me know so I can at least so I can like so I could check out the so I could check the movies out before we
Mm-hmm. I know after the panel,
it was directed and written by the Butler brothers, Brett and Jason.
Okay.
Yeah, it was great movie. Did not disappoint. There was one following it that I wanted to see, but I just could not stay up. I was exhausted beat by this point, and I don't think it would have gotten out till at least maybe one. It was it would have been a short called Sanguine. I'm probably butchering
Sanguine.
That. Sanguine, yeah, and Bloody Bridget, which looked like campy vampire fun.
No, like I'm sure I didn't have the energy for that, but like part of me wanted to kind of just hang out and watch the independent movies because they were so good, guys.
They like, really were good.
On average, that like you're dealing with hits way more than misses. There's misses, but like not too many. Now,
aside from all that, though, we like you said, you did spend some money on some merch too.
Mm-hmm.
I also did.
Yeah, well, I couldn't resist a Jeffrey Combs. I had to get my Star Trek collection.
No, I couldn't resist getting a Blu-ray copy of Pod People.
Oh, nice. Oh, my God.
And it comes with the soundtrack.
And you know what? I don't think I have the digital copy queued up, but I do have like my Jeffrey Combs right here.
Oh, nice. I don't even know where I can get my digital photo ops, but I also picked up one of my favorite B-movies. A film directed by Les Claypool that's parodying jam bands. Mm-hmm. Also two of my favorite Troma classics. Mm-hmm. The entire Toxic Avenger collection and Cannibal the Musical.
Very nice.
I also got this pretty cool Jason mask, and I asked Mr. Kane Hodder to sign it.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to see if we can get
this. You can kind of see it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. That was cool. He is a terrifying person in real life, but very kind. Ugh. Got some free swag too. I met them, the people from the Dead Meat Channel, who actually Chauncey was on their show recently, and she was on our show.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, they did a podcast together, and They took time to talk. I didn't bring that up, and it didn't. I didn't think of it till I was out of the room, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a mystery box, which I got some comics.
Ooh, nice!
Got a Batman comic, Justice League comic, and this graphic novel that I'm kind of excited to read. Yeah. I'm excited. I haven't read it yet. I peeked at the Batman one, of course. And now my signatures. I got Lloyd Kaufman.
Nice.
He gave almost every person in line a nickname.
Yeah.
This is Ken Forte.
Oh yeah, I forgot he was gonna be there. I kind of
He was telling stories to everybody in line, just telling story after story as he's signing stuff. Like about to sign it, starts telling everybody a story in line. He told one where he used to be the manager of a theater in New York. And it was at the time when the original Producers was out. So he's like, every day at like 12:20 on the dot, Mel would come up to me. And he'd be like, so how are we doing today, Ken? Everything's good, Mel. Everything's good. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. And he would just leave.
Mm-hmm.
my time meeting Ted.
Nice.
Ted was nice. Super nice guy. My photo ops.
Ooh.
And Mr. Combs. Me with Mick Foley. The dead meat people.
Nice.
They were very nice. And my Mick Foley autograph.
Nice.
Which I'm trying not to get the light. There we are. Mm-hmm. There we are.
Yeah. Lighting is evil.
Lighting is evil. And also, I got a question right in the during the film festival that we attended, and I won a prize. Music.
Oh yeah, I never got like I never I don't think I rose my hand fast enough. I knew most of the answers, but yeah.
Yeah, I did too. My question was easy.
They weren't too bad.
My question was really easy. And this
I can tell you, like, one of them, it had three questions, and it was like two I knew immediately, and the other one was like, does that even have an answer? So the first one, what 2002 movie was about like a videotape that kills you when you see it, or something like that.
The Ring.
And it was just like, it was The Ring. It's cake. And then the third question, I'll get to the second question, man, I didn't forget about. The third question was, what was the brand of doll of that Chucky was in the
Good Guy,
in the Child's Play movie? And I was like, oh, it's a Good Guy doll. Question was one I don't even think had a answer. It was, what type of creatures invade the Earth in The Quiet Place? And all I could think was aliens? Like, I don't think they're named. I don't. Yeah, and the answer was no, they're not named, but they came up with some complex, like, you know, blind creature. Like, it's like, I don't think that's, no, that's not in the movie.
They also had these stickers for free. Let me just try to.
Nice. Yep.
And the Creeper, which is kind of mad, but this is the company that, made the 4K version of the Pod People movie, or Extraterrestrial Visitors, as it's actually called. Mm-hmm. But we had a good weekend, yeah. I would say.
Oh yeah, no, I was gonna say Saturday after the Evil Dead panel, like we decided to go.
Hey, Craig, how's it going? Yeah. I also saw Craig this weekend.
Oh yeah, Craig was there. I didn't see it, but. Bobby did.
Oh, I was like, God damn it, I want me. Thank you again for watching the show, Craig. Thank you.
But like, they had a cheat as like at the end of the day movie. Well, end of the day for me, I wasn't staying super late. And it was actually the U.S. premiere of it, so it was pretty cool to be one of the first in the U.S. to watch it. So, but yeah, we got to check that one out. It was pretty cool. Definitely a very well done movie. Had some fantastic aerial shots. I had to ask him, like, was that just a drone? Like, how high they were? They had to be a drone, but it was so steady it looked like a crane. They're like, what, no, we just had a really good drone guy.
Okay, nice.
It's like, wow, that's like insanely good shots. And that was a solid movie. I'd recommend it. And, like, we had plenty of time between. It was 5 when that movie started, and then the Evil Dead panel ended around 3-ish. We had some time to kill, and we were just like, fuck it, we'll just walk into whatever's playing during the film festival. And we end up walking in the middle of Satanic Soccer Mom from Ohio.
I saw their booth, and I wanted to go up and talk to them. But
So that was a movie. It was shot on a cell phone, and you can kind of tell. There's a cheap-ass look to that movie.
Okay.
It was funny. It was charming. Right. Like, we walk in and there's this woman talk to a devil, and she's like kind of pissed at somebody else. And she's like, God damn, I just wish this person's tits would fall off. And the devil's like, okay, and disappears. And she's like, oh, wait, what did I just say? And then later on, there's a scene where we see a person's tits fall off. And then later on, there's this scene in the car where it's like, okay, I have this crazy story to tell you. So, like, literally, she was just giving a speech and her tits fell off. And it was like, oh my God, this is Jesus. Funny. You could tell there's a budget to this movie, but, like, it had a solid tone. It was very entertaining. I'd say it's worth checking out. Like,
Okay.
It was fun. Like, it definitely had like little audio issues where it's like, you could edit that out. You could fix it. But like, it was a fun little movie. It was a weird one to walk in on. But
yes,
yeah.
Pink Bunny, Primus does suck. All 7 times I've seen them, they've sucked.
I think I saw their touring
with Coheed and Cambria.
Year. I was thinking about bringing that up.
With Coheed and Cambria.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think they're touring with Coheed and Cambria.
Oh, I don't.
I mean, that. If you're sure, Bob, I'll go see Primus with you. Hold my leg. Sure.
But and then like for the last day, we did the apocalyptic anthology block because, you know, we were loving the movies. Dead Men Ride Again was this really fun zombie Western.
Okay.
It was a combi too. It was about a postman delivering messages, and he's a really good gunslinger, not because he's actually never fired a gun, but like when he's traveling across country, he's just bored and playing with his gun. But he rides to this town to deliver a message, and the sheriff is a zombie, and he meets a woman, and he has to survive, despite the fact that he is definitely not particularly smart. that was a lot of fun and really well done again. And then Red Velvet was just a really kind of creepy but semi-comedic kind of a psychological thriller about a dude who essentially hires a hooker to go meet him at a hotel room. And then we learn about this nuclear tower explosion that released a gas that will cause hallucinations. And so, you know, he's just in his room and the hooker knocks on the door and, you know, they're talking and she's like, hey, I need to go wash up. And he's like, okay, go ahead and wash up. Then he gets a phone call. The phone call says, hey, sorry, your hooker's running late. She'll be there in about 10 minutes. And then he's like, what the hell? You hear the shower running and everything. He's going into the shower. He's going to see if she's actually there. And then his door knocks and the hooker's at the door. And still apparently showering, and it was probably my least favorite of this block, but like it was still really well done. I don't want to give away too much, and I think I gave away a lot of it in the upcoming video, but yes. And then Last Butterflies was that's a really sad movie, but really well done, about essentially about global warming, and you know, if humanity keeps on pushing itself, you know, what's going to happen to the individual people. It's kind of a cool little, like, it's just about a family. And as the world's getting destroyed, what's happening to this family. And then we ended the day doing, it should be right here. Oh yeah. The Halloween Ends panel. James, Jude, Courtney, and Rowan Campbell, discussing Halloween Ends, which was a pretty fun panel. I wasn't sure if I'd do that panel, but I was like, you know, let's just do a panel on Sunday. I don't know which one to do. We'll just do Halloween Ends. You know, that's pretty fresh in my mind. And those guys were solid, and they had good information. Do you remember my daughter's question?
Yes.
Yeah, she was asking Rowan Campbell, was there anybody you had in mind that you were kind of thinking of when you did when you were playing the character of Corey in Halloween Ends? And he said I think Christine was the movie he was coming up with as the biggest inspiration he'd come up with. But my daughter actually had a specific movie in mind when she was asking that. And I don't know if it was in his mind when he did the movie, but I could see a lot of parallels. And she was thinking of JD from Heathers. She's like, I could see that. but yeah, that was a good panel. God, they talk about how James Hugh Courtney gets really bruised up in that movie. And he, like, I will say, the dude's in good shape. I remember when he walked on stage, I was like, oh, wow, I thought he was older than that. He doesn't look that old. Yeah, no, he's 67. He's in good shape for 67. I'll just say that. But yeah, Sunday was good. Anything specific from Sunday you remember, Bobby?
Happy I checked out of that hotel.
Happy to call it a day.
Yeah.
But, well, anything you want to add to Horrorhound before we go on to our next topic?
Yeah, no, let's move right. on.
Well, we got Roadhouse here, you know. Roadhouse. okay, so Roadhouse is interesting in that it's a remake of a movie that's, in my opinion, not particularly good, but goddamn is it entertaining. And it's like usually when you do a remake, your goal, I think the best movies to remake are movies with good premise, but like not well executed. That's a if you see a movie like that, that's a good movie to remake. I would not qualify Roadhouse as a good premise. But you know what they did? They got Jake Gyllenhaal as Dalton. They got Doug Liman directing. Talented people. And I would to give my broad overview view, I would say I think in a lot of ways this is technically better than the original, but at the same time definitely less enjoyable. I would give this a tepid recommendation if you think the first one is entertaining, but I also don't think I would ever watch this again for what that's worth. What are your thoughts, Bobby?
I just kind of thought a lot of it was like unwanted and unasked for.
Oh, that's definitely true.
Yeah, Nate brings up a good point. I thought Connor was a little bit too much Looney Tunish. I didn't care for that part of it.
I would actually say I thought Connor was. I like the cartoon character he plays. He is a cartoon character in this. Absolutely,
he is. I just didn't like that part of it. It kind of got annoying to me after a while.
Mm-hmm.
But
I guess I could see that. Yeah,
there's parts of the story that they changed that I'm not too that I didn't like a lot, like how the UFC thing and how. Everyone knows how he killed a guy. I just kind of like that mystery behind it in the original where, like, you know, you just know Dalton killed a guy.
That is true.
And that just kind of made more of the badass lore to him. Also, he didn't have a Sam Elliott. So, like, you know.
Yeah, I was wondering who would be Sam Elliott, and it really didn't exist at all.
I mean, I really would have thought it was funny if they introduced Conor McGregor like that, only for Jake Gyllenhaal just to kill him instantly.
That would have been funny.
Yeah, like that's kind of what I was waiting for, but that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But well, my original thought stays the same. Woof.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, I definitely don't enjoy this as much as the first one. I will say, like, the idea of him being
like the fight scenes looked UFC great. Fighter, yeah, don't get me wrong. The fight scenes really look amazing.
The idea of him being a world famous UFC fighter was actually realistic. I could see that. What I don't understand is, okay, he's a world famous UFC fighter and you're hiring him as a bouncer. Like, maybe establish that he has experience as a bouncer before doing UFC stuff. That maybe that would work. Like, I don't understand just paying a UFC fighter a whole bunch of money to be your bouncer. It's not the same thing, especially a UFC fighter whose most famous thing is killing his friend in the ring. I don't know if that's the best attitude you'd want for a bouncer. So, like, it makes sense, but also doesn't make
sense. Yeah.
So it makes sense why he's world famous, but also, but now I'm like, why would you hire him? But, like, they're like Jake Gyllenhaal, I will say, does the character differently than Patrick Swayze. Because Patrick Swayze is like the philosophizer. He's like, you know, quoting, like, you know, just philosophical quotes and stuff like that. He's like the spiritual bouncer. Whereas Jake Gyllenhaal is more, he's just more kind of frank, I want to say. Is there a way to pause this?
No, okay. it'll play eternal. It'll play forever.
apparently. but anyways, and then the Jake Gyllenhaal, like, he has elements that I like to him too as well. Cause like the first time he encounters those guys, I thought it was kind of clever how he got him outside, because he was like, guys, can we just go outside and talk about this? And they're like, fuck off. No. And then he just goes, okay, are those your guys' bikes out there? And they're like, yeah, those are our bikes. And he just walks out there.
Oh, okay.
Obviously. Yeah, and then that got him out. It was like, okay, that was pretty clever. And then he's like asking, do you guys got medical insurance? Is there a hospital near here? You know, he's making sure they're all going to be in shape and kind of figuring out how much he can beat him up. You know, I thought that was kind of fun. And then they get to the hospital scene, and the first half of the hospital scene with him and the nurse is like verbatim almost taken from the movie, the original movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they cut away before we get to Pain Don't Hurt. And I'm like, oh, you got to do Pain Don't Hurt. We're missing out on the Roadhouse Gold, guys.
Yeah, they didn't say Pain Don't Hurt, so you know the movie's kind of like just.
I mean, we had a mid credit scene where it's revealed that Conor McGregor's still alive, and I will admit, like at that point, I was like, no, I. Number one, don't do a sequel. Number two, please don't bring him back. I'm like, I thought he was kind of entertainingly cartoonish, but yeah, he did overplay his welcome. I will say that.
Yeah.
But,
like, I was more interested in the rich kid, evil guy.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
But I mean,
yeah. The Ben Brandt, who is your new Ben Gazzara. Post Malone gets pretty high credit on here for having almost no role, which was really,
You know why? I'll tell you why, Chaos. Because he's Post Malone.
True.
That's true. The only reason why.
Like, you could have had anybody in that role and you would not get a noteworthy credit at all. And it's like, he's not even an actor.
No, he's an entertainer, man. They do it all. It's not like the old days, you know, like where an actual, you know, performer, as Jeffrey Combs said, you know, like they don't do the whole song, dance, and act thing. You know, it's just they can act or they're a musician of some sorts, but that is just to the word of entertainer now. Because, you know.
Yeah.
Nonsense. True.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. I thought, like, there are times where I'm genuinely enjoying this movie, and then there are times where I'm kind of just a little bored.
Yeah, agreed.
Like I said, it's a very, like, for me, it's a very tepid endorsement. Like, kind of like if you think the first one is just dumb fun, I think you'll probably find a few scenes you'll really enjoy.
Like, if you enjoy fight scene action movies, you'll love it.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
The action here is pretty solid and it's over the top. Like, the thing where he's on the bridge and the car just sideswipes him was pretty wild. It's like, holy shit. I assume that had to be all CGI, but like, it looked pretty good, and it was pretty wild just seeing that shit come out of nowhere. Was it necessary remake? No,
no,
not at all.
No,
I think
just like Wonka, nobody asked for that movie.
Yeah,
it's just like Wonka, nobody asked for this. Why?
Wonka's
nobody better. Asked for this. I don't know. I'd rather watch Roadhouse again than Wonka. That's just because
I might watch Roadhouse again instead of Wonka, but not because I think
it's I'm not a Timothy fan, so that's probably why.
But yeah, I will say Jake Gyllenhaal got fucking ripped for this. Holy shit! Like,
he usually does get in good shape for movies that require him too. He's pretty good at that.
Let's see.
And I think he is like a very good actor.
Oh, dude, Jake Gyllenhaal is kind of an amazing actor, in my opinion.
I think, like, one of my favorite performances of his is in Zodiac.
Like, I guess he gets a little bit there. I don't recall him, ever doing a bad performance, honestly.
There's Bubble Boy.
Yeah.
But that was early in his career. That's forgivable.
Yeah, yeah. That is true. I didn't think about that. I guess, is there anything you want to add before we go on to X-Men?
No.
All right. We can go right into X-Men. So, Roadhouse, a remake that is entirely unnecessary, but has some cool fight scenes and some entertaining moments. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It exists. I guess I'll say it's not as bad as I feared it would be, but not great either.
Yeah.
That's X-Men
97. I love that they're using the video clip. I haven't watched any of it yet because we're not slated to watch any of it yet.
I know, we're not, but I end up watching the first two, and oh my God, it's so good.
You dirty, dirty dog.
I wanted to top out on stream to get the Chud reaction, but here's the deal. Like that, the first two episodes were so good, I think the Chuds just don't know how to react, so they're instantly just diverting to acting.
Oh, that's all right. You know, something happened with their internet gods. You know, they've parted ways, so you know, now that they have all that to spew their own discourse in, you know. But we're not here to talk about Clandis Owens. We're talking about X-Men.
So we watched the first 10 episodes of season 3.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing. Oh yeah, I almost forgot because it's been almost a week since I watched the beginning of this. So Out of the Past, the two-parter, where we get introduced to Lady Deathstrike, who is Wolverine's ex. And they are trying to crack open an alien ship and they need metal claws. Like, her claws aren't quite strong enough to break it.
So they need antimantium. Claws,
so they break it out and it ends up...
So it's a Wolverine episode.
Yeah, it ends up being like this psychic villain that like attacks them and the X-Men team up and stop it. And it was fine. I don't have much to add to that one. Although I did think it was funny. So like the episode ends and there's this, let's see if I can dig it up actually. There's like this really cheesy animation for like coming soon, the Phoenix Saga.
Right at the end of the two-parter. Yeah, it says this coming soon, the Phoenix Saga, the next episode, Phoenix Saga Part 1.
Yeah. Well, I will say I was a little confused by that, but then I ended up looking it up, mm-hmm. and there was actually a month between those episodes before they aired. But it does feel weird when you're streaming it. It's like coming soon, the Phoenix Saga, and then just literally the next episode.
They didn't lie.
It's like it's right there. Yeah, I'm not seeing the graphic, but the graphic was, I'll be blunt, it's like the cheapest looking graphic ever. It was like a planet with a star field behind it, then actual like footage of flames shooting up to like Times New Roman text saying coming soon, the Phoenix Saga. Just like,
oh, that was awesome, dude. What are you talking
about?
That was awesome.
Somebody spent 2 minutes putting that together.
Well, at the time, man, that probably took a lot longer than 2 minutes, man.
Possibly. But then we do get the Phoenix Saga. And I remember when this aired, because it was actually a Monday through Friday thing where it was like it aired after school for like a week. And
yeah,
I remember as a kid, I was really excited to catch each and every part after school. How old would I have been? I will have just turned 13 when this was coming out. So, yeah, that won't have been exciting.
What was this? When did this come out? Like these episodes?
1994, September.
I would have been 9.
Damn.
that is the age difference.
Is it just me, or is the animation for season 3 probably a bit worse than season 2? Like, not drastically worse, but I felt
sometimes I notice it's a little more crisper. Yeah. Just a little crisper.
Yeah.
And sometimes it looks like it's that super early computer animation.
Mm-hmm.
Like where
maybe they're kind of adapting more to computer stuff and there's a choppiness being thrown in. Because they're not quite sure how to do it. But the Phoenix Saga was kind of cool to watch to check out. And then, oh yeah, and here's the thing that was interesting. Did you watch the Disney Plus first 10, or did you just follow the IMDb?
I watched the Disney Plus.
So did I. And here's the interesting fact that I figured out. So, like, if you go to season 5, and I remember watching it years ago and remembering that they did this. What they did for season 5, because they didn't have all the scripts they need, is they dug up scripts that were essentially chucked in earlier seasons. And that were supposed to play earlier in the series. And they just made them and just played them in season 5, even though chronologically it didn't make sense. And what they did was they actually moved. What Disney Plus did was they organized the episodes so they make chronological sense. So after the Phoenix Saga is an episode called. Let me dig it up.
No Mutant is an Island.
Yes, No Mutant is an Island. That one is season 5, and it's season 5 animation, which kind of sucks. There was definitely boring. Yeah. Fun fact: the villain of that one is Zebediah Kilgrave. You remember who Kilgrave is?
Yeah.
It's good old David Tennant from Jessica Jones.
I was like, so what is he going to start whispering to people? Yeah, what is he going to start whispering and manipulating people? Oh, he's not? Okay.
He was doing it to the kids, but then, like, it's... Like, this is a Cyclops episode. It's Cyclops dealing with the loss of Jean Grey after the Phoenix Saga. And it never mind the fact it was made 2 years later. He's going off and he's helping these kids in this orphanage. And Kilgrave has the ability to mind control everybody. And we know this. This is a comic book fact. He's a famous villain who's been around for a while. And Cyclops essentially stops him. And Kilgrave really doesn't seem to ever try to control him. Which seems like kind of an obvious like way to stop him. But... No, it's really weak sauce Kilgrave. Like, David Tennant Kilgrave is so psychologically terrifying that watching this one, it's like, what the fuck is this character? It does not feel like the same character.
Where did David go to get those ideas?
Yeah. Well, a lot of those, the Kilgrave he did was more based on, although not quite the same, it's more based on what actually happened in the Jessica Jones comic book. But yeah. I feel like this just feels like they're dropping Kilgrave in there because they need a villain, and they have him use his powers occasionally, but it's not right. Anyways, after this, we get to the actual season 3 episode, Obsession, where Archangel is obsessed with finding and stopping Apocalypse. This is, in my opinion, a pretty cool one. I kind of like how Beast is able to kind of form a bond with Apocalypse's computer, who seems kind of sick of Apocalypse too. And they kind of work together, kind of get Apocalypse trapped. It also makes sense how Archangel is kind of insane trying to stop Apocalypse. I thought that was a solid one. But then we end with another season 5 episode. It's a sequel to a previously loved episode, Long Shot, to everybody's favorite episode, Mojo Vision.
Oh, I was just ecstatic about this one.
It was great.
Mm-mm.
I have a big shitty grin on my face. Of course,
I know you do. I'm just not acknowledging it.
No, it was just like, oh my god, no. We're doing a sequel to this one. Like,
no, this episode, one I did notice the animation change. And this,
yeah, this like, one, oh, the animation is really bad in this one. And yeah, it's this long shot. Like, Long Shot runs away, Mojo captures him, and Jubilee, and a couple of X-Men. It's like Wolverine, Rogue. I don't remember who, and I kind of don't care because this episode was really this was a weak one to end a weak one to end the week out on. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. This is probably my least favorite of the bunch this week because number one, it's a sequel to an episode that should have been good. Mojo Vision had all the pieces in place to actually be kind of a cool episode where like you put the X-Men in like these different TV series. And like expect them to survive. And like you could do weird stuff with that. But instead every single fucking series was X-Men fighting robots. And it's like, X-Men fighting robots is like the whole X-Men animated series. What's the point of putting them in a fantasy world if you're just going to do X-Men fighting robots again? And then the long shot's kind of just a follow-up, the uninspired follow-up to an uninspired episode. That's the best way to sum it up. But you know what? Like, actually seeing how the order is a little bit different, I'm interested to see how where we jump around to a bit more in the Disney Plus stuff. Because I know Savage Land, Savage Heart is supposed to be in was in the first half of season 3, but it's not. But we won't see it till next week.
No.
And then we do have Dark Phoenix coming up as well. So, yeah. I'm not actually sure if we'll get Nightcrawler this season like it was originally. That might not be till next week. We're going to find out. We're going to find out the Disney Plus order, because I don't remember exactly what it is. I just remember noting that it's different and looking into why they did that. But, yeah. Anything you want to add, Bobby?
No.
All right. So the last thing up is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So this was something like I was kind of excited when I first saw trailers, because it's like, ooh, just a Ghostbuster thing. And it's like fighting some super powerful ghosts I haven't seen before. This sounds awesome. And then the reviews were coming out and they weren't that great. And I was getting disappointed. So I went to a theater kind of like, oh, okay, we'll just sit down and go through this. And I watched the movie and I went, that was decent. Like, this wasn't like, I have complaints about this movie, but, and I will get to them, but there's also a lot of strengths to this movie. I feel like a lot of people are missing. But I enjoyed this for the most part. Where are you at, Bobby?
I'm right here.
Where are you at with the movie?
I like this. I felt it hit a lot of the checks. It continued the story. It put it along with where Afterlife left off. The remaining ghosts, like living Ghostbusters, Dan Aykroyd, Bill Murray, and why am I drawing a blank? Ernie Hudson.
Winston.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was saying the actors, but it weren't really just background characters or, you know, just showing up at the end to save the day. They were very prominent through the whole thing. And it's like the Ghostbusters.
I would add a caveat. Bill Murray's kind of a background character in this.
He showed up also way through. So.
Yeah, true. But I will say Winston has a pretty big role in this, and it's nice to have Winston have a solid-sized role in a Ghostbusters movie for fucking once.
Same with Ray.
And, you know, Ray, I thought Ray was the best. I think an argument can be made Ray's the best character in this. He has a big role throughout this movie, and he's kind of great. I just love that moment where Winston's telling him, hey, we're at the twilight. Like, essentially, Ray's researching this ice demon and figuring out all the details about it. And he's getting into dangerous situations with ghosts and stuff like that. And Winston's like, dude, we're in the twilight of our life. You should just be retired and relaxing. And Ray's just like, no, dude, you don't understand. This is what I want to do with my
life. This is what makes me happy.
I love this. Yeah.
This is what makes me happy. Yeah.
Like, I love that. I love that aspect. But yeah, that was something I like. Lots of people were complaining like it does fall back on like callbacks a bit too much. And I can see that to a degree. But like,
I'm just very curious.
Not with Ray and Winston.
I'm just very curious. Like, how did that state, that city of New York, elect Dickless as their mayor?
I don't know. I mean, even the audience was calling him Dickless.
I mean, nobody did my showing of it. I think I was.
Well, the audience, I meant like the city, the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That person at the end who's like, yeah, Dickless, tell them what you think.
Yeah. But yeah, that's like, I ended up seeing this late last night because convention and, you know, trying to work around everything. I didn't take my kids because I was like, it looks like it may be a little disappointing, so I'll just go watch on my own. I kind of regret not taking my kids because this was, I genuinely had a good time.
Yeah.
Here's what and I will say. Yeah.
I was going to say, and even like, you know, I think Finn's character had a bit more to do in this one. Finn Wolfhard, like the older brother.
Yes, he definitely did. No, they give the characters a decent amount to do.
And the whole Ghost Corps, like, right, like Winston has secretly been funding Ghostbusters research this whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a nice plot point. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're keeping the dream alive.
Well, the mayor takes all their equipment, and then Winston's like, well, I've made upgrades and made new equipment, guys. Come on.
I have new ones, guys. He doesn't know about this place.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't know this place.
What I will say is what this movie does really, really well is actually build up. So there's lots of build up to this like ice demon ghost thing. And it's really creepy. Like you have this orb, like this brass orb that Winston bought, not Winston, but Ray buys from Kuno Nanjami.
Who actually has some beef.
Nadine.
Part two.
Yeah, he has a bigger part too. Like essentially he comes off at the beginning as like just the dude just trying to pass off some shit. And then Ray takes an interest in the orb, and then he scans it, and it's off the charts with the spiritual energy, and the dude's like just jacking up the price, just trying to get more money for it. And yeah, the investigation into the orb is actually, in my opinion, really cool and really builds up this ghost really quite well for the third act release of the ghost. And then when the ghost is released, I'm like, oh, here we go, here we go. And I will say, after the ghost is released, I'm kind of disappointed in it. But the buildup is so cool to it.
Yeah.
The like they talk about how, oh, his horns were taken. And then, like, when he gets his horns back, I was like, oh, what, does this mean he's more powerful? And they don't really establish anything like that.
No, they don't.
He lost his horns and got them back. And I was like, oh, okay. And then the other thing I will say, and is that I thought Bill Murray was a little, I think obviously he didn't care. And it kind of, there were points where I think the biggest point for me that really took me out of it was when the big scary ice demon ghost is coming to kill them all. And he's chilling in this dark room with sunglasses on. And it's like, I understand Peter doesn't take things seriously, but it kind of killed the mood a bit for me to seeing how unseriously he's taking this.
I mean, I guess people bought those same sunglasses. I read that somewhere. I don't know.
Really?
It could have just been a Chud shit posting, but yeah. Bet you all feel stupid now. He wore them for a few moments and then took them off, and it's just,
yeah. Well. Okay.
Okay.
I will say it is nice to see James Acaster in here. Like I saw that the character and I was like, God, that guy's familiar. It took me a while until the cast list came out. But I was like, oh, it's James Acaster. He's awesome. He's a cool stand-up comic. Actually, you know, I have a clip of James Acaster. Hold on. Yeah, I got him in here. I have to have him in here, right? Oh yeah. So, yeah, this is why I like to... I play a clip of him anytime we're dealing with Chuds being transphobic.
Oh, yeah, because you know he's been long overdue a challenge? The trans community. Oh, they've had their guard down for too long, if you ask me. They'll all be checking their privilege on the way home now, thanks to you, you brave little cis boy.
Yeah, he is awesome. Like, part of his act has become kind of making fun of comedians who just take the low road and make fun of trans people. It's like, that's awesome.
That is.
But yeah, it was cool seeing him in this movie. Oswald has a cool little exposition scene.
We also get a callback to the first movie in that with the ghost in the library. The same ghost.
I could have maybe done without that, but I don't know. It was fine. Like I said, there are moments where I feel like the callbacks were a bit too much, but I don't think it kills the movie at all.
No, I know that there's like there was like an idea that Dan Aykroyd had for a third movie that did involve the lions coming to life outside the public library.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of happy to finally see that. And that was really cool, I thought.
Yeah, that was very cool.
And
I'm not gonna lie, when he was reaching up there and the lines had moved, it was like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's like, oh shit. You better get going, yeah. Right?
Yeah, for I do think it's kind of wild. So like, I know review wise right now, like Roadhouse is actually getting better reviews than Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which I'll be blunt, kind of confuses me. Because I just thought this was good. Like, I don't think it's as good as Afterlife, but I would still definitely call this the third best Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Nothing's going to compare to the original. And then Afterlife was solid. And then this is not quite as good as Afterlife, but still pretty solid.
Yeah, even the ghost effects in this were pretty good, too.
Yeah. I thought, like, while the ghost coming to its, like, there was one little thing that bugged me, like Winston saying, oh, we got the firehouse because it was like a center for like spiritual activity. I think it might have been funny if he said something like that and then Ray cuts in and says, oh, is it? I got it because I like the fire pole. Because if you remember the original, like they're there and like Egon and Peter really disliked the place. But Ray really liked the fire pole, and they were getting it with the mortgage off Ray's mother's house. So Ray's vote counted a lot more than theirs, so they got the place.
Yeah.
I like him just saying, oh, we got for a center of spiritual activity. It's like, you could have had a fun joke off that. Instead, it just comes off kind of like you're retconning a bit. Again, it doesn't kill the movie whatsoever, because I think the pluses far outweigh the minuses with this. This isn't flawless, but this is an entertaining movie. If you want to go watch a new Ghostbusters movie, I recommend this. There's plenty of Ghostbusters fans out there. I think you will go and have a good time with this movie. Absolutely. Anything you want to add, Bobby?
No. You all right. got it all there.
All right.
Next week.
Yeah, let's dig up next week.
Next week, it looks like we got Godzilla X Con. The rest of
I did see lots of commercials for that coming out. I was like, oh, is that coming out soon? Yeah.
And then we're watching Discovery Season 1, Episodes 1 through 5.
The first few episodes. Cool. Well, that series, I will say, the first season of Discovery is a bit rough, but I am excited for Season 5 because it, like, essentially after Season 2, it gets better.
Okay.
Not after, during Season 2. And then we're finishing off X-Men Season 3. Whatever Disney Plus calls X-Men Season 3 is what we're finishing off. That would be a good show.
Yeah.
All right. So, everyone, party on and be excellent to each other. Oh, yeah. I guess I'll do quick ads here. Initiative stream will be Wednesday. And then Thursday I got my solo stream. And then, so this week's kind of normal, but then next week, guys, I'm not going to be doing a solo stream and I'm probably not going to do the initiative stream either. I might take that week off, of those, but I will still be doing the podcast on Monday and I will be doing streams for my kids. That's actually during my spring break. So the kids are going to be here. So I believe it's April 4th, Lindsay will be coming on and we will be doing a Star Trek first officer ranking. It's probably not the 4th. We'll figure out. I think it's the 6th, April 6th. We'll be doing that. And then I'm pretty sure at sometime during the week, my son and I will do a video game stream. I'm going to try to do Mario. Because he's been loving Mario recently, so we'll do some Mario. But yeah, that's the plan for the next couple weeks, guys. Party on and be excellent to each other. Oh yeah, I get some videos out too. Whorehouse out in a few days, hopefully.
I had recorded the three panels we talked about. I'm gonna try and get those up probably within a week. I'll probably put them on my channel. And as well as I'll send you the final video, and you could put them up on the podcast channel as well.
I need to upgrade the Google Drive because I won't mind like giving you like the footage I have as well, and you could mix that. I wonder if there's a, because the Google Drive is getting filled up. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. But yeah, guys, party on and be excellent to each other.
Take care.